Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Stompcast. Lillian wandering through Clapham Common. We've just walked past some people painting and enjoying nature. They clearly have painting as their one of their priorities.
One of their priorities is creativity, and we're seeing
creativity and they're painting away.
Doing some outdoor exercise all together.
Well, thank you for joining me again. I'm enjoying this stomp and wander. And I thought perhaps we'd start off by answering a question that we raised a little bit earlier about, you know, how do you self-publish? What is self-publishing mean? Because I think the story behind why you've done it, I think, is brilliant. So perhaps you could share what it is and how you've done that.
So I chose to self-publish, which essentially, you know, when someone puts a book out, generally they'll work with a UK publisher, and the publisher will create it, will have it printed, will have it bound and distributed generally as well. And I chose to do that on my own, partly for control over various elements of it. So I had quite a clear idea on visuals. I come from a magazine background, so that's really important to me. Didn't really want to change on any of that. And I was very keen to have an all-female team to put more economic empowerment into women's hands. And one of the really big things was that I wanted to use the specific material for the cover, which is made from recycled plastic bottles and hasn't been used on a book in the UK yet.
Wow, that's incredible.
And I wanted it, thank you.
That
it's called
amazing.
Toil Ocean, and it's beautiful. The book is
you can't even imagine
linen
covers.
It feels that's like linen, incredible. And it's woven from ocean plastic. And then
God,
I wanted it to
amazing.
Be printed and bound in the UK, and that is very rare to have something printed and bound in the UK. So all of that led me to do it myself, and it also means that I have more control over it, and I hope to do, you know, soon I'll do a kids one, and that I can build it out as a product range. It's a bit more of a business rather than a one-off thing that I do.
And in a sense though, that when you were talking earlier on that you wanted to climb to be an editor and so on, in a way you've just done that, like you said this earlier, really. You've done it for yourself and you have actually done what you already planned to do. You've just done it in a different
way.
It
looks different.
You've just done it slightly differently. So I guess that makes sense, right? That's incredible. So, I mean, my books are published with Hachette, so with a publishing house. I guess that is what's known as a traditional way of doing it, but there's lots of ways of doing it. And the amazing thing is that actually when it comes to it, all you want people to do is have the book in their hands and read it. How you get there and how do you get to that point is just a different journey and a different way of doing it, isn't it?
There's some issues that come from self-publishing in terms of distribution, but one of the things that for me as well, because of the way I've made it and it being made and printed and bound in the UK, is that the margins aren't great in the way that they can be with books if you do it in China, and so I can't really look at a wholesale model without wholesale model sort of putting
Amazon
it into WHSS. I don't believe in Amazon.
Yeah, fine, you don't believe in Amazon. Fair enough.
I mean, enough. I do use fair it enough. Now and again, but I don't believe in it.
Fair
but
enough.
Ask me
fair
again in a year. So let's see how my principles hold.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. never commit to something unless you're willing to die by
I will not die by it.
Don't die by die by things. Priorities change.
Priorities change.
Okay, we're going to delve into the second part then, think about goals a little more. So, first of all, I wanted us to pick up a little bit from what you're saying about the priorities, about like how do you decide the priorities actually matter and how you say no to certain things. And I think from there we'll use that stepping stone into goals. And perhaps if people then still want to use goals, which is fine, everyone should use what they find helpful, perhaps how you can still use the priorities method in goal setting.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, I use the priorities method so that there are goals within the within the journal that people set. So how do you prioritise something that's really important? One of the things you really have to do is deprioritize. So we chatted earlier about this. Yeah.
To prioritize, you have to deprioritize.
Absolutely. Like if everything is a priority, nothing is. So
yes, okay, true.
If we can have a think about what is maybe holding us back or what is cluttering our life or what's preventing us. It's like you said earlier, you know, priority is singular and that we have this idea that we can do everything and that and achieve everything, and generally that's not true for most of us, depending on the various commitments we've got. And if it is true, often we end up burnt out. So it's also about sustainable, you know, depends on the person, but for most people it's also about, you know, a sustainable way of living that then they feel healthy and productive and well in all areas of their life.
Yeah, see, one of the things I struggle most with, although I am getting better, I'm actually significantly better at it now, is to say no to things, because what I end up doing is that I love to prioritise everything and and or I have lots of different things I like doing. Emma Gannon coined the idea of, you know, multi-hyphenate, you know, living, being someone with lots of strings to their bow, I guess, lots of things they enjoy doing. And there's a fine line between that, I think, and a hustle culture and trying to do everything and then ending up burnt out. And that's something I've really struggled with over the years, something I'm very consciously aware of. But I am getting better at it now. I say no a lot more than I used to, but I still do find it hard to decide what to say no to, because you want to say no to the even a good opportunity that's not a great opportunity should be a no.
Yeah, it's really not easy. I had to do it this week actually and say no to something I really wanted to do because another big project came in. You know, we know that no is a negative stimulus to our brain, so we don't want to do there's no dopamine, there's no hit you're getting. Maybe there is sometimes you get a good hit.
To be fair, there is
saying no to something you really don't want to do.
Yeah, that's true actually. Like, no, I'm not doing.
You feel great. But yeah, often we have to, you know, we do have to accept sacrifices, we have to accept maybe disappointing people, you know, not being a complete people pleaser. This idea of saying no and meaning it and not feeling too bad about it. What I always say is that an outward no is an inward yes. So, you know,
I love that. Outward no is an inward yes.
That's one of the priorities taglines. So
I love that.
Outward no is an inward yes. And often, as you say, you know, even an inward no is an inward yes to something bigger.
Yeah, and I guess it's very true that, I guess it goes along the same kind of essence of saying that, you know, when you spend time doing something that you don't want to do, you're stealing time away from doing things that you actually want to do. There's a time is like so, it's finite, it ticks away, and, you know, not to create like a hustling thing from that, but it's like if you, for example, like you might just want to sit down in your flat and do nothing for a day, but that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's much better than going and being with a group of people that you don't want to be with, doing things that you don't want to do.
Because you know that's going to drain
you. We should do that because that's the thing that's busy, or that's the thing that's doing something, inverted commas.
Yeah, or everyone is doing it. Absolutely. And it comes back to that idea of priorities and values, right? Because if you know what your priorities and values are, you're going to find it a lot easier to say no to things, and you'll also find it easier to say yes to things that maybe scare you or you're not sure about. As you say, time is limited. We like to pretend it's not, but it's very limited, and we generally don't, like, none of us, especially in London, magically find a load of time somewhere. So it's not like when you have one big priority you want to work on that you have all this time for it that's magically just there, which is why saying no, deprioritizing, I also talk about unsubscribing. So whether it's unsubscribing from, you know, mailing lists that you might be on, because all those little bits of attention in your inbox that are clogging you up.
Or do what I do and don't look at emails at all.
Oh, do you not?
I don't do emails at all. I'm very clearly fortunate to have my wonderful assistant, Abby, who manages that, because actually you also got to realise the things that really drain you. And like for me and my ADHD brain, emails are horrendous because I won't actually reply to them. I'll see them, get distracted, won't reply, then get in trouble because I haven't replied to something really important, or I'll misread. One of the problems I have is that when I found this out in the last 6 months or so, my psychiatrist was telling me about this, is that it's quite common amongst ADHDers, they'll read things because your brain's just trying to just take certain things and that's it, and just fly through it. You miss really important things and you'll miss like things in it because you don't actually even read entire sentences sometimes. And like I had a text from someone the other day and I replied to him yeah, that's awesome, see you later. But there's actually a really important thing that they told me about that was bad that had happened, and I'd completely as if I didn't even care, but I just my brain didn't
take
it
in. So that's really good. You're lucky enough to, you know, to have your life organized and to have that awareness that you can delegate those things, because that's obviously part of what
As a business, I mean, if you look at this way, you know, we very much focus as a team that I spend my time on the things that I'm good at and add value to. I shouldn't do things that I'm going to be bad at and do badly, but also I'm not going to spend time in areas that are draining me away from things that I should be doing. Like if you look at people's skills, for example, Abby is a great organizer and Abby loves doing that. It's just she's just so good at sorting everything. I think when she goes on holiday with her friends, she sorts, everything's, she'll sort it. This has been done by me. And I think it is, within your own life and where possible within teams as well. If you've got a business you're working or a manager, it's looking at the people around you and thinking where are their skills? Where are their things that align? Yeah, perhaps with their values as well, what they like to do and how they like to live their life. And you find that teams and people work so much better when you can do that.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of going into businesses and working with teams and leadership days and things like that. And one of the things that comes up over and over again is, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses and how can the organisation support those? And I do say, because obviously not everyone works within a team or has the resources to delegate. If you can't delegate, then I suggest doing this coffee break thing where you put aside the tasks that maybe are quite demanding or maybe not that demanding but very small and they add up, like replying to emails or paying bills or whatever it is, or even replying to WhatsApp messages, and setting an alarm and giving yourself 20 minutes to just nail through those as quickly as you possibly can.
I do it for messages. I do it for what, because one thing I need to reply to my WhatsApp. So and people listening who are my friends will know I'm absolutely horrendous at replying, because I'll see something and think, yep, I'll reply to that. Then obviously it drops down and doesn't happen. So what I do now is I'll sit down in the morning. I usually sit down in the morning and reply to any messages I want to reply to at that time. And then the evening I'll do the same. I'll sit for 20, 30 minutes and I'll reply to all the ones that sat there waiting to reply to, because it means that I know it's done.
Fantastic.
Because otherwise it doesn't
happen. And it's not draining your resources, your mental time and energy.
And I do the same thing with organising my room and my clothes. Usually on a Sunday afternoon, I'll just allot 45 minutes to go through my wardrobe, fold everything up, sort everything out, because that to me is a really big task. Whereas sitting down with the politicians I did last week, senior politician, was not a stressful thing for me to go and do, because it's a dopamine event to turn up and do.
Lots of reward systems.
Whereas my wardrobe, actually, funny enough, when I finished it, I do always feel really good about it. But initiating it is always a bit I'm just folding clothes.
Yeah, and then again, it's like that habit that we were talking about earlier, of making doing those things more of a habit. And the more that, as you say, you set aside a time and a specific time on a specific day, the more that your brain is going to get on board with that. And be more accepting of doing it, as opposed to resisting it every time.
Indeed.
Every time you try.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, I'm going to bring us back on track, financial changes, because I've taken us on a terrible tangent. So in terms of that, the design, the priorities, they change in your life as well. That's a point I wanted to come to, is that priorities change. Like, I'm 33 years old now. You know, I'm single, I've got no kids, but I would like to have a family at some point. And, you know, I'm very aware that I work very hard, perpetually. Unfortunately, I hate the word busy, but it is what it is. And it's just being aware that actually, well, if you want to have a kids and family, you need to invest in meeting people and meeting someone that you might have children with. And if you don't invest in that, that therefore isn't a priority of yours, and it's not going to happen. And it is a great one that, who said it actually? Who said it to us about the diary? Show me the diary. It said, show me your diary and I'll tell you your priorities. So if you're not diarising time with family or the gym or doing activities or holidays, and all your diaries just work, then your priorities just work.
Completely. And actually, when I work with people, especially one-on-one, and I ask them what their priorities are, and often you'll have people saying, oh, it's my family, it's my health, and then I look at what they're doing and they are not prioritising it in any way.
It's like maybe like I want to have a family, but I'm not actually planning any dates or not actually in a position to meet anyone.
I'll think of people I can introduce you to.
It's not going to happen. It's one of those things you don't
we think of that in terms of urgent versus important, right? Yeah. Because there's always urgent stuff that we need to do. There's often urgent and important things that we need to do, tasks and, you know, various things that pop up in our life. However, there's also things that are really important but not necessarily urgent. And these things can often get put and pushed by the wayside. So, you know, something like if meeting someone is a priority, it is important to you, but it's not urgent, then you can end up not prioritising it, because there's always going to be more urgent things.
Something
that
else
come to
always
the forefront.
Pushes at the top and goes, oh, well, that goes down. Like,
exactly.
The thing that's the problem on the list is the thing that's third or fourth on the list, the thing that never gets done, is it?
And that's often what should be number one.
Yeah,
so when I wrote the book, like,
so true.
In terms of what was urgent was doing my workshops, and, you know, I was doing the podcast at that point. You know, these were all the things that were in the moment driving my career that were really urgent and important. You know, writing articles, staying present on social media, all this stuff. But what was really important to me was writing this book, and so I had to find a way to literally schedule that into my life. And for me, I'm really good in the morning. That's the best time that I work, so I schedule it in for like the first 30 minutes of every day. For 3 months, I just worked on that, and that was my absolute priority. I didn't do anything else in that time. And 30 minutes isn't very long, right? And I'm freelance, so I can do that. That was the only way that I was going to prioritise that thing that's really, really important to me, but was never going to be urgent, especially without a publisher or me on.
So one of thinking of my own life is that, you know, I've tried to make sure, for example, over the years, I've said, oh, health's important now. Like, my health stuff goes for, like, me running or going to the gym is like non-negotiable to my day, as is my therapy. I've had therapy this morning, for example. I've done therapy and I'm doing 2 Stompcast recordings. Literally, the therapy went in first, because actually without that, none of it can really happen. So it is important to actually, you know, put it in your diary, I think, and make it a genuine, if you're saying as a priority, where's the evidence for that almost, isn't it? Like, what do you show up for that priority?
Yeah.
You know, make that actually happen. And I guess also, like, almost like we're alluding to, like, you know, my time of life, like, things, your priorities do change, and sometimes maybe, for example, for me now, I have to make a bit of an adjustment where you go, like, oh, I've been so career focused, I'm, you know, trying to tackle this campaign and this kind of whatever I'm trying to do. Perhaps you have to go, well, you know, but if you want to have a family, you have to, you know, and perhaps there is going to be after a bit of a shift here, you know, and that comes with time. I'm not 24 anymore, 33, I'm young and fit. But
when I had Amal Rajan on my podcast, he talked about, this was years ago now, but he talked about, like, the different hobs of life. So that analogy of, you know, you turn up, you've got all the hobs and you've got family and you've got work and you've got, you know, your friends and your hobbies. And then at various points in your life, you're going to be turning some hobs up and you're going to have to turn some hobs down in order to make that work and in order to cook a well-balanced meal.
You've got so much gas in the tank and you've got to, you can't spend it all and you can't turn it all on. You run out of gas, don't you?
Yeah.
So true. So perhaps we do have to think what priorities when. So as we come to the end of part two then, I just want to touch upon the goal side of things, because people, you know, goals are just such a big part. So, you know, New Year's resolution, goals becomes a big part of things. If we are still feeling like I want to make certain goals, I want to set like a SMART goal, is often the thing.
Yep.
How can we make sure that those do actually align well with priorities? How do we make sure those do represent our values? And is there a way to challenge goals or think about goals that perhaps, where does that come from? Am I wanting to be a doctor because society says that being a doctor is a good job?
I think, you've nailed it, right? So it really is about, I like goals, I do set goals sometimes. It's about having that flexibility with them. And understanding.
That's all right.
Another lovely dog.
Got another lovely dog.
Having that flexibility with them, understanding and looking at that, looking at your priorities and your values and how they align and underpin.
Very clean as well, given that it's in the park.
She's very clean.
Indeed.
You're staying
with
us.
Wants to stay with us.
She wants to stay. She's all in.
Knows I'm a dog person, you see. Sorry.
You got a dog?
Yes, Rolo, little cab.
Where's Rolo?
If he was here, it'd be chaos.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Doesn't Stomcast and Roller doesn't work,
chaos.
But yeah.
Like what are the priorities and values that underpin this goal and why am I doing it? What's my version of success? And also being kind, compassionate to ourselves, having that understanding of flexibility, understanding that life can sometimes throw massive curveballs and your priorities can change not just over a couple of years, but in an absolute instance, as I'm sure everyone's had at some point in their lives, so that those goals feel really meaningful to you.
So what you're saying really is that goals are okay as long as they're goals that are created in the right way, that do reflect actually what matters to you, your values. They're okay, they're not just picked out, they are generally things that matter to you.
Yeah, we see a lot in January people being like, oh, I'm gonna
because the New Year's resolutions I don't like New Year's resolutions.
You said this
earlier. And I feel they are different to goals, and the reason I don't like New Year's resolutions, they tend to be quite kind of pie in the sky things that often are done out of a place of heavy self-criticism. We often self-reflection is good. I actually quite do a lot of I do reflective practice all the way around the year, but I do like doing it around January time. But very much aware that it can be a very, very overly reflective time where people become very self-critical and they start beating themselves up. And the problem with these resolutions, in my opinion, is you often go, well, let go of everything you've ever done. I'm going to start fresh with everything.
It feels I'm like a new person.
Yeah, I'm a new person. And rather than building upon all the fantastic, from all of your mistakes, you've learned fantastic lessons. Yeah. Like there are many mistakes that I've made. I've learned from every single one of them. Every one of them has benefited my life now. And so the resolutions feel often like you're scrapping all of that. Yeah. And we should build upon it. And the other point is, like I said to you when we first met, and I mentioned at the start of this podcast, like this year has, you know, there's been challenges, and so you set resolutions that need to be a certain way, then you end up absolutely gutted when things don't work out the way you wanted to. Perhaps you wanted to run a marathon and you broke your ankle skiing or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden the whole year is it a wreck? Yeah. Is the year a wreck? You know, and that's the problem, I think, with resolutions times. Yeah. Some people love them.
So well, it's having that big, and some people do love them and they respond really well. Of course, we get these massive dopamine hits from writing them out, from starting them, and there's often that initial enthusiasm of people keep it up for a week, maybe 10 days. And then maybe they miss one day of training or whatever it is, or even something, you know, not something as big as breaking an ankle, but you miss a day of training or you get really drunk and the whole weekend's out and you don't do something. And then they feel bad and then they beat themselves up. And then there's more resistance to starting again because they feel like they failed. And then they just don't do it.
It's kind of like a good example is like I'm talking this from a health choice rather than an addiction perspective now, but if you, say, for example, decide that you don't want to drink alcohol, if you didn't drink for 100 days and then you drank and you had a big night out and decided to have a drink, you haven't now lost all the benefit of those 100 days. Mm-hmm. You benefited from every day that you didn't drink. And if you start again tomorrow and you do 50 days or 100 days, whatever it is, you'll now continue to benefit from all those days. And I think sometimes all or nothing thinking can be quite damaging. It's like the gym, for example. Yeah, I'm determined I'm going to gym every day. Not that you should gym every day for a month, but say, for example, you want to gym every day of the month. Then you're 3 weeks in and you miss a day. Oh, God, I've wasted. I'm off the thing now where I'm just going to eat rubbish. I'm not going to train. Actually, you benefit from every single day. And all you need to do, a bit of self-compassion. I'm sure it was a busy week. Something was going on. Mm-hmm. No problem. Start again tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I think that all or nothing can be quite damaging
yeah,
stuff.
I've either failed
or I've succeeded.
Yeah, we need more grayscale in absolutely everything.
Because life is great. Life is very colourful and beautiful, but there is lots of grey. It actually goes back to that thing, what is a perfect person and a model person versus a really bad person? Actually, the middle bit is perfectly where you want to be.
Yeah, no perfection.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll come to the end of part two. Thank you so much for everyone having a listen. We'll see you again very shortly, hopefully, in part three. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth, fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.